who's found their way to church tonight through the maze. I get some initiative to help you see more of the town of Dillon.
Yeah.
I got a lot of streets blocked off. You're like, oh, nope, not, oh, that. About 3 blocks over and 2 blocks down. All right, let's go ahead and start with 147, Tom. 147, there will be no dark valley.
There'll be no dark valley with me that comes. There'll be no dark valley with me that comes. There'll be no dark valley with me that comes. Together in that one home. Together in that one home. Together in that one home. There'll be no dark valley with Jesus.
Turn over to 292. 292. star, blue star. Thank you, Grace.
What an idiot, huh?
Yeah.
No. You know, this, I get accused of that, of being too hard. What do they call that when you...
Yeah,
that's one thing. When you're too hard on yourself, you know, whatever that is. Big word for it. That's not the case at all. But you have a good time today. Hopefully, we'll have a good time. I'll tell you a little. I was watching the message. Oh, it was quite a while ago. You remember when I had a little trouble, got hurt here a year or so ago? And, well, that was at that time. John was speaking. And I got up to lead songs. You know how ladies say, does this picture make me look fat? You know that? And I thought, boy, does that picture make me look fat? No, no, it doesn't matter. Just the way it is. I'm vain. Vain the letter is. All right. This evening, I got a couple questions for you. I was going to pick on the kids just for a minute, but I will not do that. And, well, we got enough kids here. I'm going to do that. We'll do that here for a minute. Not pick on them, really, but... How many have ever been on a roller coaster?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's pray and we'll get on the roller coaster, huh? All right. Father, we're very grateful for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this midweek service where we can just hopefully get our batteries recharged and go on and do service for thee. And Lord, I ask that you'd bless our pastor, bring him back, and Travis and his families are up in Glacier, Lord God, and others might be working and traveling. Put a hedge about them. Lord, magnify yourself today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I talked about a roller coaster. I've only been on a roller coaster one time, and that was, a long time ago, probably in the 80s, late 80s. It was down a place called Lagoon. Anybody familiar with that?
Yeah.
Well, they put that thing up down there. Never been on one. Didn't really care to be on it. But that little lady over there, she talked me into going on it. And you know how it wasn't a bad person. You know, it's not bad, too bad at first. You get in there, and then it goes, tink, 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 you know, and you're going, tink, tink, and you're looking around, and everything looks pretty good. And you get to the top, and you look around in Salt Lake City, and then you start looking over. And you know how you scream, and you don't say anything? Nothing comes out. And I thought, well, did you scream like a girl? No, there was nothing came out. If you would have had a flashlight, you could have seen all the way to my toes, because my mouth was open and that loud. But, you know, that's the way the Christian life, too. It's a roller coaster for all of us. For me, it's been a roller coaster, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Sometimes we see the mountains, sometimes we see the mountaintop. Sometimes we're going down those rough spots, those scary spots. And sometimes we're down there in the valley. And that's not really I guess you could say that's the subject today, but it's just a way of life, a way of life. And right now, we're on that downward, we just crested the top, and we're going down. Because the way things are going, I open my mouth, and I think, come on, how can this even be happening in this day and age? We've had it good. Our generation has had it good. My dad came out of, and you've heard this, he came out of World War II, and things were a little tough on his part, but I've never wanted for anything. And everything's been good. I remember the days when it was, the two cars and the garage and the new house and all that stuff, and it's still that way. But things will probably change, but Jesus Christ never changes. He's still on the throne, and he still cares for his family, cares for his people. He cares for me, and I'm thankful for that. Not me alone, but everybody that's saved and knows for sure that they're going to heaven, and he cares for us, and he loves us, and just as he would a child. One of the greatest things... I'm going to have you three girls stand up and just turn around and let everybody look at you, okay? Because you're really pretty. That's why we're doing this, okay? Because you're really pretty. Okay, make sure everybody sees your face. All right. Now it's all red. Now you can turn down. You can go ahead and turn around, turn back down. It's going to have everybody. You guys, you wouldn't have done it. They'd be going like, oh, Mr. Simmonson, don't pick on us. There's a reason I did that, and we're going to look at that in a minute. Here a little while back, there was, and I didn't bring it up, I didn't bring the subject up, but I was around two Christian guys saved, know they're going to heaven, but they go a little different direction on some things, and were talking to me about it, and the first thing out of his mouth is, oh, boy, the God's coming back. It's got to be within a year. God's coming back. And I said, yeah, I hope it is for our sake. I hope it is. And the other guy, he said, no, it could be 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And I don't believe so, seeing what the Word of God says and how things are just going down so fast, spiraling out of control. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back quickly. But then here's the thing that the others have said also, that others, lost people have said, I'm glad I'm the HIM, because I don't have that long left on this earth, and the way it's going, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Lost people saying that. And Christians also. But guess what? If the Lord doesn't come back and we're gone off the scene, you saw those faces? They're still going to be here. And they're going to have to put up with what's going on. And I hope today that we get some encouragement from that for their benefit. Because they're the next, well, the next generation's a little older, but the generation after that is these kids are going to be in there. And we have kids over here, kids over there. And they're going to be left behind to carry the mantle or the torch, the whatever, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God can have mercy on them in these last days. And mercy on us that we might do better. All right, let's go ahead. Oh, no, before we do that, well, you can turn to Leviticus chapter 16. What was the theme of camp, girls? Clean, being clean. You know, if they came back from camp and pastor and others have said, you know, trying to encourage us not to blow the sock, you know, to keep them encouraged, not to take the fire, keep the air in the balloon, and do all that. And that's what we want. But you know what happens after that? You get pumped up for a while. It's just like coming out of a battle. You're all pumped up with what had happened, but it doesn't take long, and that fervor and that excitement and that stuff is gone. And each and every one of us needs to go on and just keep that fervor, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and we're going to stand before a just and holy God. I'm a firm believer in be sure your sin will find you out. It doesn't matter. And we're going to look some stuff in the Old Testament, and not a whole lot in the New Testament, because this will be probably a 2 or 3 part message. But to help us to do, where's Leviticus at? I know where it's at. I've been turning to Exodus twice. That's excellent. I'm still doing it. Leviticus chapter 16. We don't want our kids to see the same old thing that we have. We didn't go to the conference. We didn't go to these places. I remember when I got saved, we went down to, first got saved, there was a bunch of us, Chris Nemeth, myself, Ron Decker, Joe Nottingham. There was one there more. Can't remember. We went down to, it's called Tri-County Baptist Church down in around Atlanta and that, and I had never seen that stuff before. Guys standing on waving the handkerchiefs, the ladies waving the handkerchiefs, and you know, they're all wearing hats and all that kind of stuff. And I was out of my realm there, because I'm just a hick from Montana and didn't see that. And there was a man, and I believe this was the guy's name. I tried to find his book, and I couldn't find it. But I hope I'm right on this. There was a guy that spoke on the family and on the wife. And what we, how we should handle and what they should see, the kids should see, and what we should do with our family. I think it was Alan Jones. He was an old guy, older guy, and his wife, very classy lady. And they started talking about that, and I gleaned a whole bunch of that off of his message, how to just treat my family and that. And he took everything that he had out of the, but he was, you talk about old school, that guy was old school. He was back in the early 1900s, 1800s, how the wife was and how the husband was. But it was, I got a real blessing and learned some stuff about that. But today what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at, now you guys, you can just, hey, I got this down there. Just listen, have a good time, be in your church and rejoice. But it's something we lack greatly in the churches today. I lack greatly in my life is purification, being pure, and sanctification in our lives. Because we have it a whole lot different than they did over there in the Old Testament. There's a lot of correlations. In the Old Testament, there's typologies, prophecies, and shadows of things to come, and correlations between the Old and the New Testament. There's about 200, they said there was 285 references from the Old Testament in the New Testament. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he used many of those, Paul used many of those. So they brought the Old Testament over to the New Testament to help us out. Moses was a type of the law and the type of Christ. In John chapter 1, Philip findeth Nathanael and saying unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So we can take some stuff. There's just a lot of times we think, well, just what's in the New Testament is good. But I tell you what, I get a lot of stuff out of the Old Testament for my life. The book of Proverbs, Psalms for comfort, and all that, just all that. But in Luke chapter, in Luke, it's talking about, it says Jesus Christ is talking here. It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what's God, all scripture is given for him. Given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for what is reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that a man, be perfect at the end. I can't remember the rest of the bar. If any of the help us out there, let's do that. I even memorized that a couple times, or looked at it a couple times. But there's two greatest examples in the Old Testament that have helped me. You know, they helped me very good because I didn't understand how the Old Testament fit over in the New Testament as far as showing about the Lord Jesus Christ. One is in Genesis chapter 22. How many knows what's in Genesis chapter? Don't have to say Genesis chapter 22 has to do with Abraham and who? Isaac. You know, the substitutionary, the whole sacrifice thing, and somebody showed me that, and I thought, oh yeah, that's cool. And then over there in Exodus chapter 12, the Passover. That's two of the greatest things in the Old Testament talking about Jesus Christ, his suffering on the cross for us, and he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And so many times we forget those things, the old things, and because why? Because we don't read the Word of God like we should. We don't pray like we should. But in these last, I believe we're in the last days. I don't know how many years, could be 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years. It doesn't matter. I hope around when the Lord comes back. But we're a remnant. We're a remnant, just like there was remnants in the Old Testament. A remnant which is doing right. There's so many out there that believe we're going to hurt. They're going to heaven by good works, faith and works, rather than trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, over in Exodus, we're going to get to Leviticus. We will. Exodus chapter 12 was the Passover. It was the substitutionary sacrifice of a lamb, and the blood spilt and put on the doorpost so that the firstborn may live. And they were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh, and they went over. Now, how many years were they in bondage? 400 years. That's a long time. You know, I've been a Christian since I was 20, 21 years. I don't remember the exact age. I got it right. I think I got it. Well, yeah, it's in there. But anyways, that's only 40-some years. And these guys were in the wilderness, or they were in Egypt for 400 years, serving as a slave. You know, they didn't at first. Sure, they didn't, because when Joseph was there, they were in Goshen and everything was real good until after he died and Pharaoh's changed and they were put into captivity and they just worked as servants. So their kids knew what was going to happen. They were going to be slaves and they were going to have to make bricks and they were going to have to do all that stuff that they had to do as a slave, and they weren't treated well. Well, I've only been the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, the type of the world, and their journey. How many days did it take them to get to the Promised Land? How many years, I should say? 40 years. Took them 40 years to get over there. Well, that's about right, 40 years. And so we got Egypt, the type of the world, and then we got the Promised Land, which is heaven, which we're excited. I'm excited about seeing up there. You know, the thing about knowing for sure that we're going to heaven, there's one thing that I do not want to take part in, but it's all part of it. You just suck it up and you do it. It's like pouring concrete. Don't like it, but you suck it up and you do it. It's the judgment seat of Christ. And every one of us sitting in this room, if you're saved and know for sure you're going to heaven, you're going to go through there. I'd rather go through that with as little baggage as possible. And we'll look at some of that today. Let's go over to Luke chapter 16. Luke, why does it keep flopping back to that? I don't know. Leviticus chapter 16. So you're not changing. Leviticus chapter 16. What Leviticus chapter 16 talks about, there's so much through the book of Leviticus just as far as what you should do, what you should not do. But and I'm going to read that. We're going to read quite a bit here. We'll quit on time. And if there isn't on time, we'll quit on time. So you don't need to be looking at the clock. I'll be looking at it for you. And not that anybody is. Leviticus 16, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of his two sons, the two sons of Aaron. Now, that's a tough time. He lost two of his boys right there, right at that time, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram of burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Now we're going to look at chapter 5 here in a little bit. You know, I'm sometimes I'm a slow learner on a lot of things, but you read through that thing, and you got to realize when they were sacrificed. Remember when Solomon sacrificed all them? Man, there was like thousands of animals were sacrificed, and there was a lot of blood and guts around there. It was a mess. And they probably had to, and I bet you their shoes and the bottom of their pants were just full of blood, and their hands and shirts and everything, because that's a bloody job there on that. And that, but here in this point, Aaron's doing it all. He had his sons there, but it looks like Aaron's just doing this whole thing. And this is only done once a year, what we're going to look at. Verse 5. And he shall take the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids. I'll show you two. Which one of you three? Two kids? No. The two kids they're talking about goats here. They're not talking about us. Simpson, you're an idiot. But anyway, they're going to take two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, and that's for himself, which is himself, and make an atonement for himself and his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them. And this is weird. This is kind of weird how this goes about. And what happens here? You read over everything. God has a plan. And Aaron shall cast lots, verse 7, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Now, I don't know, you could say, oh, he was going to roll craps or something like that, but it's not. I believe probably had two whatever, kind of like flipping a coin. This is going to happen, the other one that's going to happen. And he shall cast lots, and goes down and talks about the other lot for the scapegoat. Verse 9, and Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, and then making an atonement with him, and to let him go for the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring this bullock of the sin offering, and it goes on down there into the coals of the fire. And then they're supposed to go in there, and he's supposed to take the blood of the bullocks, because they're going to have to get going here a little bit. But he'll put it on his hand, and he goes in, and he puts it on the mercy seat, and then he goes on and he puts it before the ark, both the bullock, and he's supposed to do it a certain amount of times. And he goes on and he does this stuff, and it shall take the blood of the bullock, verse 14, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and the mercy seat shall sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. And then shall he kill the goat at the sin offering. I'd rather be the scapegoat than the sin offering right there. Boy, glad the light. But we'll see what happens to him a little later on. And in verse 16, he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of the transgressions, all their sins, so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation and the remaineth among them in the midst of the uncleanness. And it goes on there in verse 17, and we'll stop there, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make what? An atonement in the holy place. Until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for the household and for the congregation of Israel. I looked this up, and I'll probably mess up on the pronunciations, but this is a feast of the Jews that they do yearly. And it's just in whatever this, I'll try to do the best. The first one of the year, this starts in March, celebrates the defeat of the plot to destroy the Jews in Persia, so that'd be around Esther's time. The Passover, the deliverance of the Jewish people from Egypt, that's done in April, sometime in April. Each year it changes a little bit. Shabbat, which is the Feast of Weeks, Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, and that is done around in September, around in there. And Yom Kippur, this is the most holy feast that they have, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, the most solemn day of the year devoted to fasting, prayer, and repentance. Because it was one thing, we saw that Aaron, he's a priest, I think it's in Revelation chapter 1, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we're priests and what? Kings, says over there, priests and kings. Over there, and we're a priest of God, and we have to, Aaron had to go in and he had to offer sacrifice for himself first, and then the sacrifice, and he did it himself. He didn't have somebody else do it. It was his job. It was his lot. There was nothing. Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T, the first 2 days of the tabernacles, and Shemini, Aseret, the eighth day of assembly, and Simchat, Torah, celebrates the new cycle of the annual spiritual readings, and then Hanukkah, which is the festival of lights, is the last one around the end of December, and that celebrates the victory of the Maccabees and the rededication of the ancient temple in Jerusalem. You think, well, what's that got to do with anything? There's special days for them, just as we have special days too. Now, when you think about the Day of Atonement, you know what? When I was reading about the Day of Atonement, let's talk about this a little bit. You know what? The Jewish people are the whole race. When you talk about kosher stuff, there's what are those kosher Hebrew the hot dogs? Yeah, Hebrew nationals, good ones, and they're kosher. That means the priest has to go in or the rabbi has to go in. He has to check it out and all that. But they're really big on cleansing and washing the clothes and all that. And if you read the book of Leviticus, they were supposed to, if you had this, you had a white hair on this, and you had this, and this was come to a bowl, and there was a bowl, and you had to do this 7 days and wash your hands and all that, which is good. As I don't remember what it was, 18-something, when they finally figured out that, remember in the Civil War and the American War and all that kind of stuff, when they would be operating on these people, where would they wash their hands? In a bowl. Same type deal. And they finally, somebody figured out that you needed running water, so they'd do that. And things changed after that. And we have that today. See them in there going like this. And they start there, and they'll wash and wash and wash. And then somebody will put the gloves on and all that thing. But there's a reason. If the people of the United States, if Christians would understand some of this stuff from the Old Testament that would carry it over into our personal lives, we wouldn't have the problems we have. Now, the Day of Atonement is the most important, like I said, the most important holiday for the Jews. And to me, I was reading it over, and that kind of sounds like the Lord's Supper for us. Because they have to be examined and all that thing, and they have to do an offering. And this is, I'll tell you what, the Lord's Supper, when I first time I partook of it, I thought I was going to die. Why? Because I didn't understand about it. I thought, oh, surely I have some unconfessed sin. And when I got up there, I thought, well, I didn't die after it. But it's there for, you think about those things. And we need to be true and honest with God and examine ourselves about this. And go on. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. I think what we've done since Pastor Haben's been, what have we done, John? 3 times since he's been here? The Lord, something like that, like 3 different times. And that's what we're to examine ourselves. I cannot go over here to Eric and examine Eric and say, Eric, this sin in your life, you've got to get it taken care of before you can partake of it. That's between you and God, between me and God and anybody else. And it was a little different deal in the Old Testament. Nowadays, we've got it good when it comes to that. And when it comes to what? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took care of all the sins past and all our sins past. And we just have to confess the ones we mess up with. 1 John 1:9. But you know what? 1 John 1:9 is to most people a crutch. A crutch. And I've used it as a crutch because of doing certain things and going on and we won't get there maybe until a little later. Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. I've got my own kind of language, and it's sad because a lot of people, sad for the people that have to listen to me, but you come off the old scumbag, dirtbag, all that kind of stuff, and got a jackpot, and the whole thing is all that, and all that. But the deal is, when it comes to that, We need to examine ourselves and are we living the lives that we should be? When we stand before a just and holy God, we're going to have to give account for what we do. And that scares me. When I was 12 years old, we were driving a truck from Twin Bridges, and my brother, I'd never hardly driven a tractor quite a bit, but never a pickup. And of course, it was one of them where I had to slide down and push the clutch and change gears and then get back up in the seat so I could drive down the road. We went down the back road from Twin Bridges to Sheridan. Well, I got down in there and I got my foot come off the clutch and got stuck between the steering wheel post and the clutch and everything, and I couldn't get back up on the seat to see what was going on. And I couldn't, I tried to push on the brake and I didn't have enough balance. Well, what did I do? I wrecked Dad's brand new truck. Put it right on its side. Boy, boy, oh boy, boy. And Gary rolls in and he's driving the dump truck and he starts crying. Oh, wait till Dad sees that. Wait till Dad sees that. And I went home and Mom was really good and everything. So I took a bath and Gary comes in and he says, Dad's home. Well, what did I do? I freaked out because I thought Dad was going to kill me for wrecking his brand new truck. Went to bawling, sniffling the whole thing. You know what he did? He says, well, boy, let's go out and see the damage and let's see if we can get it fixed. So we went out and we worked on it. He never did say not one more word about that because he was gracious on that part, even though I was scared to death. And a lot of times we're scared to death in the things that we do nowadays because of the way the world is going and that. You know, when you think about the way the world is going, I'm just very thankful for that. My dad wasn't the greatest dad. He wasn't saved. Well, maybe got saved at the end, but he was a hard man and he worked hard. But that was one of the days I saw a different side, just like the different side of our Heavenly Father that we see when we think we're going to be in trouble. He says, it's okay, boy. It's okay. And so many times that happens. All right, it's in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at a few verses here. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, for the law having a shadow, just like we talked about, a shadow of things in the past, of good things to come, and not of the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. In other words, you know, they do it year by year, they offer that sacrifice, but they were never perfect in that. And it's just like this, we're never going to be perfect till we get to home in heaven. But we can do the best we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And when we allow sin to get in our life, an ambassador, you know, I didn't watch any of it. I didn't watch it. I just heard things about what is the thing over in Japan? Where was it? Yeah, the Olympics. Thank you so much. And I was ashamed of a lot of the people that were in there. Because they pretty much just turned their back on the country that they were, that sent them over there, paid their way, and did all that stuff. But there was some that got up there and just praised God. Some, what was she, a weightlifter or a wrestler or something like that, says just thank God for what he had done for them. And thank God she could serve, do this and be an example for the United States of America. That made me feel better. But the ones that turned away, leave them over there. They can come on back. Don't say that. Ah, oh boy, I tell you what a different world we live in today. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered because of the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. You know, in other words, you can call it fire. We have 1 John 1:9. We have that crutch. When you mess up, you go to 1 John 1:9. Mess up. You go to 1 John 1:9. Mess up, go to 1 John 1:9. Maybe we ought to get it. Maybe I should get it right. And I keep confessing and confessing and confessing. Get it right and not do that anymore. But God is faithful in that area. We were talking to kids and the girls are here. The girls were here. We were talking about in Sunday school last week. Put you on the spot. And what happened to a rebellious child in Leviticus? What happened to him? Do you remember? What happened to him? They were stoned, killed. Wow. What would that be today? Because the Bible says, but if man has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But his mercy needs grace for us. That doesn't happen. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices is a remembrance, again made of sins every year. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. And I know you knew this. You read this and all this. But how it helps us to go on. If we truly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, don't you think we ought to do the best for Him? not only in just what our work, but live clean and holy lives for the Lord. Because the moral compass of the moral compass of the world has gone completely backwards. It's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that. It's okay, but it's not okay. Because He's still a just and holy God, and we're going to have to stand accountable for the things that we do. But He's a merciful God also. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. God has no pleasure in that old stuff. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when He said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, were offered by the law. Thus said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which we all are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all, that's taken care of. We still have some obligations when it comes to this. I'm thankful you're here tonight. You know, I was going to, I'll make a joke. Here's a joke. Another lightning, a little bit. Alan came in late, and he came out, but he wasn't late. I was standing back there, and he looks at me, and he says, you speaking tonight? And I thought, is this a trick question? Because is he going to turn and run? You know, type of thing. And I didn't think that for a second. Yeah. So he goes over and sits down, but I thought, boy, oh boy. I'm not. It's just we can have fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what putz is? Worthless individual. Ah, there you go. We're all worthless in the as far as. But He loved us to die for a worthless person like each and every one of us. You know, I haven't been in many churches over the years and many things going on, but the church atmosphere, for the last few years, the atmosphere is there for a while. It was a little rough. You know, a few years ago, it was kind of tough. But I'm thankful that you stayed by this stuff, and things are better, and we're just going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about what's going on. We can be witnesses. We're challenged to go out and soul win. We're challenged to be witnesses. You're challenged to read the Word of God. We're challenged to live holy lives. Now, you girls, you know, you guys, you know, this is a sad deal. Sad deal. Maybe I'm just thinking wrong. But if you got a boy and you got some girls and there's others, oh, they're laughing at me. Thinking, well, what's he going to say? No. But when you think about purity in the family, what gender do you want to stay pure? Why is that? But he's right. It's the girl. You want the girl to stay pure. What about those guys over there too? They're just as important as they are. But they are the weaker vessel, that, and it's just, what is that thing? They say a guy is something until he takes a wife, but a girl is father for the rest of your life. How does that go? Okay. Okay, daughter's a daughter the rest of her life. Thank you very much. I had that once. But you're looking at me, and I don't know what to do. I'm kidding. But that's the way it is. But why is the pressure put on you guys to do right and to do right? And the pressure's not on them, but it is on them. Zane, Coulter, the pressure's on them. And it's the pressure's on your mom and dads to do right. Because if we do right, we're a good example. We're to be an example to you as a preacher is to us, as the Lord Jesus Christ is to the church. And we're to be an example to those around us every day. Every time, boy, I look at my grandkids in the face, and my great-granddaughter in the face, and I say, oh, God, have mercy. Boy, because we know what's coming. We know what's at the end. We know the very end. But there's some bad things in between that very end that's going to have to happen. And God be merciful if they have the strength to go through it. I pray that the people here have the strength to go through the way we have to do, and we can do it. Well, you know, living a pure and sanctified life is not impossible. Now, we can do some things, and we can get it right with God, but it's not impossible. If we stay in His Word, you know what you got to do? You got to be able to get up there and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I just got to go on and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we won't do it. We don't do it. I read stuff in the, in the Word of God, and I just say, what kind of a monster am I? Especially as you get older. Even the Apostle Paul said as he got old, he saw what he really was, really is. And that's what we see. But when we were young, we had the cat by the tail, boy. The world by the tail. We're going to just do everything. When we think about, we still got a few minutes yet. Think about this. You know what the main theme right now, not in the churches, but in the world, is save the earth. Global warming. G17, G20, do all this money and save the earth. Well, what about the degradation, the morality in the United States? They don't even look at that. And if that changed, don't worry about the other stuff. I was in the Forest Service, and I didn't say it was just like a beehive in there. And I was in there, and I said, we were talking to a lady that comes here, and I was being a little bit, trying to be funny, maybe a little bit facetious. And I said, we ought to do is just try to save the structures, let the forest burn. But the money that's putting out, and nothing's going to happen. Of course, that didn't go over well, but it's going to burn one day, isn't it? Sure, just read your Bible, 1 Peter 3. It's all going to burn. So we'll just get started early. No, that's not, for those out there, no, that's not. I don't really mean that. Yeah. We were talking about that formalistic attitude. Oh, I didn't finish on that attitude. But you see it, you just see it. I did watch a sermon here a while back on whatever it is, sermon audio, and I thought, because I was thinking about doing something on that wavelength and all that stuff, and boy, oh boy, honky-tonk music at the first, and the whole thing was, and the preacher gets up in his T-shirt, and all that stuff, and I thought, oh, what a bunch of claptrap as far as that. So I didn't even watch it, or didn't even listen to it, because I thought, nah, I ain't going to waste my time. But here it is. What day of the week are we supposed to worship on? First day of the week. Yeah, they did it on the Sabbath. We're to do it on the first day of the week. And really, I know this is maybe putting a little legalism on this one part. That should be a day set apart for us if we can come here. I understand the working thing. I've had to work on days like that. That was the biggest push for me to get rid of the job that I did to do something else, because I just felt I was missing too much. I needed more of this and less of that, and God has taken care of that and watched over us. But the moral fabric of the churches today has gone completely down the tubes. It's okay to do what you do and just have to ask forgiveness and go on. But you need to draw yourselves. Just draw yourselves and lift yourselves up and live the holy life and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be an example of those. Practice what you preach. I tell myself all that all the time. We get up here, we need to practice what we preach. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but many times we are. I am. I think they were coming out with a glass. What do you call it? X-ray glasses, and Secret Service, blah blah, and say they use it and all that is. And why? For what reason? Well, they say they're looking for stuff like that. But God's got X-ray vision. When we walk into the church and we come in our fancy suits and all that fancy stuff, and He sees our heart. It's just like what is old Matthew. They make clean the outside of the cup and the outside of the clothing, but inside is what is. Dead man's bones. Thank you, John. And like that. And then a lot of times that's what happens in a church. We want to be. It's a deal where the ladies wear the best dress, the guys do that. That's a bunch of mess. That's a mess, boys. Come in to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to the Word of God, hear His Word, and let it touch our hearts. When you talk about living right and purity and sanctification and being a good witness and all these things, what it does, it hits your heart. It does me, it convicts me. I'll tell you what, I told this over, but there was one time in my life the Holy Spirit was so convinced, it was so heavy on me, I couldn't even breathe. And there was a young guy from Pillsbury Baptist College, and he got up and he started running the aisles and preaching and pointing his finger at them. I wasn't saved yet, but I was getting close. And I heard that, and it was just like, I couldn't breathe. I was sitting there, and I thought I was going to pass out. because of the conviction. But there'd been a whole bunch of ladies in that, you know, the guys in that church had been praying for me to get saved. Well, that same Holy Spirit that at that conviction at that time can convict our hearts to live a better life for the Lord Jesus Christ. A clean life, you know, we're to be ye holy, for I am holy. We're to live that. That's just the way to have. It's impossible. No, it isn't. Because we have a way when we do mess up, but we can be a difference before the people look at you. People look at you, girls, and you're to live a little. You're held to a little higher standard than the other guy is, or the other gal is. Why? Because you're church going, ladies. You know the Bible. You know that stuff. So you're held at a different standard. They say there's that thing that says an ounce of prevention is worth a what? A pound of cure. On that end, there's a lot, boy. There's a lot in the Word of God. An ounce of prevention. You know, when you get a little more mature in our lives, you know what you think about? Think about living a little bit longer. I don't want to die when I'm 70 years old. But if I do, that's in God's hands. We try to eat a little healthier and do stuff like that. Really hard to pass the Snickers, though. That's right. I think he's going to have those in heaven. I hope. Nah, maybe not. But ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And James chapter 4 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Because we can, you know, when we can do all these things to confess it, you ever been ashamed of yourself so much because you're just doing something over and over? I have. I've been ashamed. I thought, man, just get a gun and shoot myself because I can't get victory over this thing. But do the right things and God will give you victory. What is that? Pray. Read the Word of God and you'll get, I have a good friend got victory over something. I'm so glad. Never said a word to him, but he's just plugging on, boy. It's tough, but I'm going to just plug through it, and that's what we need to do. We need to do that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Proverbs. Yeah, we got a couple minutes left. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I know this is not an amen thing or a great deal, and all this is just kind of just average stuff that we have to go through. But the trumpet's going to blow. And like I said, I would rather it blow and I don't have so much to stand accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ. Because that's going to be a terror. It talks about being the what? The terror of the Lord. Scary. Just like going down that thing, screaming with it. I don't know if Debbie was there or who was there. She was sitting alongside. She's probably just looking at me because I was just like that. And I closed my eyes too because it scared me bad. I thought, boy, what a weenie I am. But that's all right. I bet you there was a lot of others, too. It's funny. They should have put me on YouTube. Put me on. Oh, they didn't have that stuff back then. That would have been so funny. That would have been one of $10,000. Yeah. Where did I say to go? Proverbs 30. Thank you. All right. Proverbs chapter 30. It's good to have fun in the Lord, but one thing that's very important that we do is just serve the Lord Jesus Christ till He comes back. In verse 11, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, and keep a holy life. There's a lot of things we should do that I should do and I don't do. I'm not trying to put it on you because I do the same thing. In verse 11, it says, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, I remember here a while back, what's that Gates guy's name? Bill Gates? Yeah, Bill Gates. Sorry, that's what you said. Him and his wife just got divorced. Yeah, all the money and you could ask for, got divorced and all that. You know what she ended up? A measly $50 billion. Measly. You know she probably can't live. You know I think, come on, Bozeman used to be the town of millionaires. Now it's the town of billionaires. There's just no concept of what's going on. Back over to Proverbs 11, and there's a generation that curses his father and doth not bless his mother. We see it all over. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from the young man. And this is a horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. And there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not I enough. And then it goes on, talks about the grave and the fire and all those different things. Never, fire's never satisfied. The grave is never satisfied. Just people keep dying and going to the grave. The fire, the more wood you put it on it, the more it's going to burn. And those things. But we should not have to worry about that, because our Father, our Heavenly Father, is a good Father, and He's a good God, and He's taken care of us very well. So we should be like, my dad was not my hero by a long shot in that, but he taught me a trade, and he was a hard worker. And he taught me how to work. He taught my brothers and sisters how to work. And I thank him for that. But the Lord Jesus Christ is way better than that. He teaches us out of the Word of the God how we can walk a clean life and walk to represent Him. Don't you think we ought to represent a just and holy God, a just and holy Father, right? Yeah, we should. We should. Why? Because we'll be held accountable, but we're sons of God. And He loves us, and we love Him. And it goes on and talks about that. Now, I got one more, I only got four more pages. No, I don't. Just kidding. I told you to be. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you, and we'll be done. In 2 Timothy 2, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself," you know, I was thinking about that dishonor, something I heard a preacher say one time. Used to be, what when they didn't have inside toilets, what did they have in the bedrooms under the bed? What did they call them?
Chamber pot,
exactly. And that's one to dishonor. That's me. I'm one to dishonor. Call me a chamber pot. No, not at all. But there's some to dishonor, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel and honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. If you want to be used for the Lord God, we need to live right and do right and do that. You know, we've got Awana coming up here in September, and we need to be thinking about, praying about. We've got youth going on and just an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and work for Him. Flee also youthful lust, kids, and also the elders. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, 1 John 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not." Now, is Christianity a well-liked thing right now? Oh, not at all. Not at all. You know what? A contractor came into work today. I'm going to talk to him. I was blown away. This guy's kind of a vile, vile guy. But he pays his bills, and we do a lot of business with him. He said, "Yeah, you know, my boy's about old enough to go to work now." He says, "I bought him a Bible the other day. So I want you to read 10 pages a day." And something changed about the guy. And he said, when I was leaving, he says, "God bless you. Have a good day." And I thought, boy, oh boy, that's a whole different deal. I bet you somebody reached him with the gospel of Jesus Christ, told him how he needed to be saved. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to talk to him about that, because you try to be a good example, and he knows where I stand and all that. But it was just a blessing to me. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed it, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, but he knew him not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what it shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I look forward to that day. See the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man that hath this hope in him, and we have that hope living in us, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Is purification easy? No, it's not. There might have to be some sacrifice in our lives. Sacrifice in the things that we do. But, like I say, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Pray for our young kids. Pray for the young kids in our church and the young kids in the area. You know, when you think about it, that's not a very very in the school system. Sometimes it's when I was in, it was not a good. That was not a good subject. There was some saved people in my school. I wasn't. So what did we treat them like? We treat them like dirt, and just made fun of them and all that kind of stuff. But they can make fun of us. They can make fun of they made fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. They crucified him. What has happened in Romans chapter 1, we have it today. It happened back then too. But stay faithful. Try to live good life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And girls, boys, stay pure for him and go on and serve him. God will bless you. God will bless you. I know a couple of men, a couple of young men, just encouragement that they were, one of them still in the church, and I won't tell you who it is, but they made a vow that they wouldn't touch their friend, girlfriend, until they got married. And that was the first time two of them up here the night before when they took their hands for that. So you can do that. Others can do it. We can do it also. Dads and moms, let's live a pure life and be an example to our kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Let's go out of here. I hope that it's been a help and stumble a bunch, but it's okay. It's the message, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. And pray and ask God to help and give you strength. He'll give you strength to do that, to get over this stuff, to do these things. He has me over and over. All right, Father, we're very thankful for tonight and getting out on time. And Lord, thank you for protect our families and the ones about us, our kids. And Lord God, I ask that you would help the ones that are on vacation, that are away. And Lord, help us to stay faithful and live pure for you until you come back. And may not be in my lifetime, but encourage each one of us older people, persons, whatever, to just stay in the fight and be an example to those under us. Bless now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead, 376. 376, if you would, please. I'm going to pray. This will be a good time to do it. We need to take time to be holy. Take time. Lord God's been good to us. He's given us so thankful for everything I have. 376. We'll sing the first and the last. Take time to behold.